The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hello everybody, this is Max Cavalera, Soulfly, playing Nailbomb, and you listen to Radioactive Metal. Stay metal.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special... This episode is the bomb episode of Radioactive Metal. Jesus. It's fucking rights, man. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, bros. What's up? What's going on?
None. I really thought this was going to be the episode where we get nailed, Snowy.
Ah, okay, well...
Or was that last week for Valentine's Day?
Stuff left unsaid.
I was just rolling my eyes when you said the bomb. I'm sure you could hear my eyes roll back in the back of my head.
You really could. You really could. This is a very audible eye roll.
This episode is definitely the da bomb because, hey, like, with... What we've got going on and tonight's creature feature, I got to say, I am really stoked for not only just for, you know, just for talking to Mr. Cavalera himself, but just the whys and wherefores behind why we did this wicked creature feature and what's coming up soon and all that. It's like, I'm so excited. Yeah. When they announced this very special tour, which we're going to get into a little bit later. You know, it's like, okay, we got to get him on the horn. We got to do something with this because this is just too cool. Too cool. Yeah. So how's everyone going tonight?
Doing okay. Things have slowed down at work, but they're going to start picking up again soon. I know Aaron's had a hell of a week, but I know he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. I'm exhausted, but I've got a guitar beside me, and I'm talking to you guys, and I've got Trooper beer in the fridge. So it's all right, you know.
Okay. You know, beer does no one any good in the fridge.
Well, if so I didn't have to work tomorrow morning, it would not be in the fridge. Because as I was telling Rock off air before you got here, Snowy, I also found dragon's milk. And our listeners might remember almost a year ago, exactly, maybe in about a month, there was an episode where we recorded and I was drinking dragon's milk and was slurring my words by the end of it.
Yeah, you were.
I remember it. I remember that episode. And I'm like, when the fuck did dragon's milk become a sponsor? What the fuck?
Hey, we tried.
I know. Dragon's Milk needs to sponsor this show.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess, for the amount that I mentioned my Lemmys and all that, we should definitely get JD on the horn for a sponsor, which I got going on in my Number of the Meat Beast mug right now. So it's going to be a hell of a weekend. I had a kick-ass... I got a kick-ass metal fix here. I almost lost the words there. I got a kick-ass weekend coming up. So anyone else got anything to say? Maybe we're going to rock and roll here.
Let's get into it.
Let's go.
We wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
Okay, dudes, who did what to who and when and how many times?
Wow.
Okay, Aaron, you want to start or you want me to go first?
You go first, man.
Okay, it's going to be short and sweet. Been mostly listening to podcasts at work, but a couple of them I wanted to bring up. Our friend Mitch LaFon, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, had earlier this week had a very, very interesting interview for me. Anyway, you guys, well, there's no way I think you would appreciate this interview. But Sword, you know, from Montreal, has signed with Combat Records. And it's a new Combat Records. It's not the old regime like it was, but Dave Ellefson is part of it now.
Mm-hmm, he's
one of the big ones.
Yeah. The interview that Mitch LaFon did was with Dave Ellefson and Rick Hughes, the vocalist of Sword. So it was really cool to hear the story of how it all happened. And Mitch was embroiled in the whole thing. It's kind of because of Mitch that Sword got signed. And apparently the Killer Dwarves also have signed with Combat. So
nice.
Yeah, so it was a really cool interview and stuff. And Combat is going to put out the live album that Sword put out a year ago that I bought. Mm. I bought it directly from the band, but they're going to
be. I remember that. Yeah.
Yep. They're going to. And I did an interview with Mike Plant about it. Combat is going to distribute it worldwide, and Sword is right now is working on a new album. So.
Because that live album, if I'm not mistaken, was like. The first album, but just live, recorded on that tour, right? It was one of those things sitting on a shelf for years. Was that
live at Hammersmith? Yes, they were opening for Motorhead, and it was recorded on a 4-track.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, that was a great interview.
Yeah. It's a great story. So, and of course, I'm unprepared. I should have written down the episode number of when we talked to Mike Plant about it. But you know, if you go back in the archive and search for Sword, you'll find the interview. It's a really cool interview. So I listened to that this week, and then the other thing is today I listened to. God, they frustrate me so much sometimes, but God, they get good guests. Three Sides of the Coin.
Okay.
The Kiss podcast, and they had Michael James Jackson on. So does that ring a bell to anybody?
Michael Jackson does. When you throw in the James in there, it throws me off.
He's a producer, is he not?
Yeah, he was the producer on Kiss Killers. You know, they had four new songs on there. He's the guy who produced those four new songs. He produced the Creatures of the Night and Lick It Up also.
Okay.
So it was, you know, I was a little disappointed in the interview, though, because I was hoping for – drop a bit of information that I think nobody else knew, but you know, he's the type of guy who doesn't remember anything, you know. So they would ask him, "Oh, yeah, well, do you remember when this happened?" And blah, blah. He's like, "Nah, I don't remember," and that was it, you know. So I was like, "Oh man, it's, I mean, you know, Snowy, you know how it is, Snowy, and Aaron, I'm sure you know this too. When you interview like a new band or young guys, it's hard sometimes to get the answers, you have to dig for it, yeah.
God, yeah.
This was like this, but with a veteran, you know. No excuse. And the thing is, he did mention himself that he says, I don't like to do interviews. I don't like to put myself out there like that. So I guess he's not used to doing interviews. But, oh, man, I was disappointed. But the great piece of information that they got out of him that, you know, people have been wondering for years. Aaron, I don't know how familiar you are with the album Creatures of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ace Frehley is on the cover, but he doesn't play on the album.
And there's two different covers. There's the cover with Ace Frehley in makeup, and then there's the cover with no makeup with Vinnie Vincent.
Yes, correct. And it's a kind of a dark cover and stuff. And yep. Well, no, it's Bruce Kulick. It's not Vinnie Vincent. It's Bruce Kulick that's on the cover. Yeah.
No.
I have it.
Creatures.
I have it.
So do I. Not beside me, obviously.
Lick it up has Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah.
But Creatures of the Night, there's a version. Dude, I have it right here. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm buying this.
Well, fuck you, because
Ooh, feisty.
Okay, when I woke up this morning, holy shit. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, the piece of information that he said, because they asked him, okay, they say, everybody's been saying, like, every interview you hear about people who supposedly were there during the recordings say that Ace Frehley does not play one note on it. So can you confirm that? He said, no. He says Ace plays on it. He said it's probably the bed tracks, you know, the scratch tracks and or whatever, you know. But no, he did play on it. He said he recorded him in New York City, and he actually played a guitar on Creatures of the Night. So it's probably buried in there somewhere, but he's on it. So, and that's something that everybody for years and years and years have said that he's hasn't played on the album. So I thought that was the best piece of information that came out of it. You know.
Dude, that's a huge bomb. It really is, to get that confirmed.
Yep.
Okay, so there's three album covers.
Okay.
All right. And here's the funny part. I was right and wrong.
No, you're not right.
Oh no, no, I'm right and wrong. So there's the cover with Ace, right?
Yeah, the classic cover.
The cover that I was thinking is fucking Bruce Kulick, because I'm looking at him like, son of a bitch.
I told you.
How did that escape me?
I told you.
Right? But there is also a makeup cover with Vinnie Vincent with the Egyptian makeup.
Are you sure that's real and that's not a fake?
I'm pretty good about it.
Bootleg.
That's a fake. I'm looking at it right now. Yep, because the other guys are in the exact same pose. And it would be impossible to have the guys in the exact same pose and just take one guy out and replace him by another one. That's a Photoshop job.
Okay. So here's the thing, though. I know I've seen that before, like pre-Photoshop, like back in the 80s.
No. It's not real. But anyway.
Damn it. All right.
Anyway, all this to say that you know how I've talked about this podcast and how they like to talk over each other and they talk over the guest and all that. Well, at one point, you know, one of the guys, you know, he's saying his question and he's going on and on and on. And then Michael James Jackson goes, I'm sorry, can you rephrase that?
That's awesome.
I was laughing so hard. Oh, my God. That was great. I was like, damn, motherfucker. Another one who tells you your questions are too long. So anyway.
You know, Rock, this Three Sides of the Coin podcast has been your Metallica metal fix.
I know. It's just that I had let them build up for so long. Because they just get on my nerves, you know. And again,
that's the funny part. Like you love to hate this podcast.
Well, it's just I just listen to the episodes that they have guests on. The episodes where they just shoot the shit. I don't care. I don't listen to those. I delete them right away. I don't even download them. I look. It's like I'm the listener on that. No. Oh, Michael James Jackson. Okay. I guess I got to listen to this one. And again, they're typing in the background. I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's fucking irritating.
Yes, it is. So, anyway, that is my metal fix for this week. Your turn.
Right on. First of all, Aaron, since you mentioned Metallica, okay. Hold on. Okay.
What?
Welcome to the inaugural episode of Sucking Lars's Dick. Okay, talk.
Huh?
So, you just got your very own bumper for your metal fix.
I was just thinking here, I'm like, wow, did we become an adult film podcast?
Yeah.
And who's this Lars?
I know. Lars loves the ladies. But damn, no, actually, I really didn't have anything. But I mean, since I feel obligated, I can make something up.
More American alternative news, right?
Oh, fake news.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
I'm
going to
make
here
up news, yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. You know, and in other news, every state is now full of sunshine and roses. Fuck, where is that really going to go? All right, so my metal fix, man. So for Christmas, I honestly can't remember the last time I've talked to you guys. It's been so long. My my wife reactivated my XM in my car. And so I finally, especially with this road trip, I've gotten the chance to listen to Liquid Metal again. And so that's really been my metal fix, because I've been listening to it's funny, I think we talked about Iron Maiden and Soulfly. They've been just cranking the Maiden, the Soulfly. Max Cavalera did a guest spot. He was a guest DJ for something. I can't remember why, but that's why I sent that text out to the group about Full of Hell time. Because he was talking about being on tour with them and how much he enjoys the band. And he's playing the track. I'm like, shit, this is really good. Mm-hmm. So kind of tying into that, I can't remember if I ever told you, but like I really didn't listen to Soulfly or Sepultura or anything of Max Cavalera. Really didn't care for it until one of the guys I was playing in a band with, the drummer, sat me down and he's like, dude, I want you to go home. I want you to listen to Roots. And this was somewhere in like the early 2000s, because I really, really hadn't listened to it. Like, I remember buying the Soulfly record when it came out, not digging it. I never really listened to Sepultura at all. And this guy sat me down. He's probably like 7 to 10 years younger than me. He's like, trust me, Roots. He's like, this changed everything for me as a drummer. And I fucking love that record. And then what was funny is I heard the song No on XM, not recently, but earlier, when I had it. And I'm like, wow, I wonder what Soulfly record this is on the one that I bought and didn't like. And I love that song. So now, like, I've kind of been rediscovering everything that is Max Cavalera. And I really just pretty much anything he's on now, I enjoy.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a good time. But that's all I got.
That's awesome. Like, fuck. Like, you've got, like, quite an extensive back catalog to go out and check out and all
that's
that.
And that's the exciting part. Because now it's like I get to go and just really – and he's – the fun part is, like, yeah, there's a style to him, but he really likes to kind of spread his metal around. And like, ah, fuck, I feel like playing this. Or I feel like doing this style for a while, like very, very, very unique guitar player. I've really come to appreciate him.
Right on. Well, your journey starts tonight, shall we say. For sure. And when you mentioned him putting over Full of Hell and all that, that didn't surprise me at all, because I remember not this chat, but the previous one when we had Mr. Cavalier on the show, he was putting over bands like Genocide Pact and some, maybe some more obscure bands. And it's like, I can tell just by the way this guy's, just the way his face would light up talking about these bands and all that, where you might think, oh, Cavalier, he's quote unquote a big star, but he's getting behind these young pups and all that.
Yeah, that's he really fantastic. Loves and supports the music. That's the best part.
And as a side note, I just wanted to throw it out there that Full of Hell has signed on to Relapse Records.
I just saw that this week.
Yeah, pretty excited about that. I mean, the label, with the last record came on, good on them, great label and all that, want to work more with them and all that, but Relapse is practically family around here and all that, so
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, when I heard they signed on to that, I was super excited. What else you got?
That's it, man. That's the night.
Right on.
I'm ready to kick back and plug in our creature feature after your fix here.
Okay. So we'll get to fixing. Fair enough.
Well, we shall do that. For the first time ever up here in Winnipeg, I Hate God finally came through town last week, and I'm proud to say that it was a Ninja Cat production. We brought them in, and it was a fantastic show, and I was really stoked for this, because right now they're on tour supporting the Black Label Society and Corrosion of Conformity. Now, those three bands would be absolutely fantastic together. I understand that bill. But I Hate God would be the first one on. They would do a half hour. They'd basically get on, do a couple songs, and then get the fuck out of Dodge and all that. Well, they had a couple off dates. One of them, they came to my neck of the woods and did a full headlining set. Nice. So, hey. Yeah, that was fantastic. The only thing about it that kind of, perturbed me, and I'm not going to go into a big diatribe about it, I'm not going to go off or anything, but the vocalist Mike Williams seemed like he had a few too many. Yeah, and we all know the whys and wherefores as to why I'm saying that. So that was kind of disappointing. But oh well. I'd listen to a lot of podcasts as well, and the Josta Show podcast this week and going into last week. I don't know. I guess it was kind of like it was hardcore week because he had a couple dudes on. Like from Madball, a couple guys from Terror. He had Riley from Power Trip, who I'm hoping to talk to on this show later on in the summertime and all that. So yeah, I really dug that. I like it. Those are the type of podcasts that I get into, you know, because it's just like artists that, you know, that might not necessarily be getting a lot of press or appear in a lot of radio shows and all that. So when a show like that kind of puts them on, which kind of makes sense. Like, you know, Josta was touring with the guys from Terror and Madball and, you know, Power Trip and all that. That's why he's able to get the interviews that he does.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean,
and why his interviews are, you know, like they're an hour long and they sound like they're old buddies and all that.
Because they are.
It's because they are. They are. And they're just yakking on the road, you know. Like if we could spend an hour with every one of our creature features, you know, like imagine as awesome as our chats are, which we're going to find out soon enough, you know, it would definitely be the same thing. And speaking of which, we're going to get to that soon, but I got a couple cool records come across my desk this week, including Phil H. Anselmo and the Illegals, their latest record, Choosing Mental Illness as a Virtue. This, Okay, what I wanted to say about this record is like don't sleep on this record, you know. Like there's probably a lot of listeners that are going to be like, "Oh, yeah, Anselmo, fucking rock star from Pantera and all that." No, this is definitely something very different, and I love where they're coming from. And when you really think about Anselmo's like massive back catalog, I guess Pantera is the first band that comes to mind, but geez, like, oh my God, Viking Crown, Christ Inversion. He was in Necrophagia for a while, Down, he was in Scour. Like Pantera is just a small percentage of the guy's catalog.
Yeah. I mean, that. It's definitely what he's the most known for, but he has an incredible body of work. It really
yeah,
does.
Yeah. And not to mention all those wicked bands on his Housecore label.
Yeah.
Which we get behind and we get those artists on as much as we can as well. The new Necrophobic record, Mark of the Necrogram. No, I did not make up that word.
Are you sure?
I'm
feels
sure
like that, something you'd make up.
I kind of figured. No. No, the record is Mark of the Necrogram, which will be available, well, today as you're hearing this. That came across my desk, and that's just, it's classic Necrophobic, what you'd expect from veteran death metalers and all that. Definitely check it out. As well, the new sort of new Scorched record came across my desk as well. Now, what Scorched is it's one of the three bands from drummer Matt Izzy, who is probably most well known for his band Homewrecker. And what this latest album from his death metal project Scorched excavated for Evisceration was basically $20 Spin has picked up Scorched and have re-released a couple of their indie releases to, I guess, kind of introduce them to $20 Spin's audience, and it's sounding pretty good, and I'm really digging it. But Matt Izzy is—he's just the type of musician. Like whatever the guy touches is just fucking gold. The guy's got that metal Midas touch. That's a snowyism right there. That's a snowyism. Patent pending. So like I said, we got this kick-ass creature feature going on, so we're going to get to that. But before we do, we're going to show you just how awesome Matt Izzy and Scorched is from that new Excavated for Evisceration. This is Existence Dissolved. Of this whole buildup that we've not only been yakking about on this episode, but Rock, you may recall during my metal fix last week, I mentioned having to get reacquainted with Nail Bomb.
Yep.
And the reason why I had to reacquaint myself with that is because I had, once again, the good fortune of sitting down with Soulfly's Max Cavalera. Because there's a very unique tour that's going to be happening very soon and coming up to my neck of the woods as well. But I was kind of hoping that we would once again be able to have an in-person with Mr. Cavalera, sit down and shoot the shit about other things. And hey, like his beautiful wife is his manager, and she's always a treat to be around and all that. So I was kind of hoping for that. But they asked nicely, hey, can we maybe do it in advance so maybe your listeners can kind of hear about this wicked tour in advance? And we said, hey, for the Cavaleras, no fucking problem. Because like I said, I'm totally stoked. What's going on with this is the band Soulfly, okay, is basically doing a tribute to the band Nailbomb, who, as you may recall, in the, I guess it was the early 90s now, and Mr. Cavalera took a small break from Sepultura and did a wicked side project, but produced a couple albums and a live DVD and some rather classic moments with one Alex Newport from Fudge Tunnel. Fortunately, this band burned bright, but then quickly extinguished, or at least extinguished much, much sooner than they should have. And I guess Mr. Cavalera just got the bug, wanted to, you know, put this out there to a whole new generation. So yeah, it's like, I remember, oh shit, yeah, that Nailbomb was the bomb, as you heard at the top of the show. So we definitely got all over it. So we're absolutely psyched, excited, stoked, whatever word you want to use. But once again, we've got none other than the mighty Max Cavalera of Soulfly. No. We got Max Cavalera of Nailbomb for tonight's creature feature. And to get us there, though, we're going to do something a little bit different. Because, you know, Mr. Cavalera, he's known for Sepultura and Soulfly and Nailbomb. It's just like another thing that he's known for is his other band with his brother, the Cavalera Conspiracy. So to get us to tonight's creature feature, I'm thinking, you know what? How about a really cool live song just to show everyone what they can expect on this upcoming Nailbomb tour? Check your local listings. So I tapped the wicked tune of the Cavalera Conspiracy live doing Nailbomb's Wasting Away. Take it away. Time to make your finger it out.
first and foremost, I want to get into, you're going to be up here in my neck of the woods very soon on a somewhat unique tour for Soulfly, Pushing the Nail Bomb. Maybe kind of share with our listeners exactly the concept behind this tour and what it is, and maybe a little background, as just in case some younger fans are just hearing about Nail Bomb for the first time through this.
Yeah, the idea was born, was actually, we did it last year, and it was great because I always loved Nail Bomb, and I always loved Point Blank, the record we did, and it was like, the idea was actually putting a band behind the record and having, making the record like if it was released by a real band and go on tour. And I think I got really excited with that because I think that record is really energetic and it's really, it was made to play live, even though it was a project. So we got Soulfly, which is a real band. You know, we just got off the studio last week, making a new record, you know, that's going to come out later. And so it's like, it's great, man. It's like this kind of combination of the both worlds of turning a project into a live thing. And it's like, we got all the machine sounds of the record. We put in a sampler. My son Igor is playing the samplers and singing as well. So we transform all the songs, but you still get the real impact from the record, from the original project, because you have all the sound of the machines, of the samplers and everything, but you have the weight of a band behind, like Soulfly, which is a really, you know, real powerhouse behind the whole record. So it's great. It's a lot of fun, man. We did a run here in the U.S. and everybody loved it so much that they wanted more. And we just thought, man, you know, we didn't do much in Canada, so let's do a big Canadian tour, you know. So we're going everywhere, man, in Canada. It's going to be fun, and I'm excited. We might play one more song, which is Why You Sleep, I Destroy Your World, which was from the live record, and maybe even one new Soulfly song from the new record that's coming out later. You know, we might even play that for the fans as well. So everybody wins. It's kind of a win-win situation. But it's awesome. The record is so good, so powerful. It's some of my favorite stuff to play live is the Nail Bomb stuff. I had a lot of fun last year, and it'll continue this year.
Yeah. I have to admit, when they announced this tour, and it's like, no way. Like, I remember buying Point Blank when it first came out, and I'm like, I never thought that, you know, anything like this ever would happen. So when this tour was announced, I got quite excited. And you kind of answered some of my questions here, like, what is there going to be for Soulfly fans on this tour? You're going to give us a bit of some of your other stuff as well?
We might just play one new song from the new record, you know, which is kind of cool because it gets everybody excited also for the album. The album is about to drop in the summer. I think it's like July or something. We just literally got done last week in LA with Josh Wilbur produced it, and it's fantastic. It's a really good record. I'm really excited. So we're just gonna probably pick one of those. We have a song that's really cool. It's called Feedback, and it's all about touring. It's about the life on the road. You know, it's about the fans and the circle pits and the traveling and the feedback of the guitars. That's why it's called Feedback, you know. And it's real cool. It's kind of a Motorhead tune. It sounds like Ace of Spades. That one is really cool. It's very different from the rest of the record, and it's kind of made for live. Like, it's one of those songs that is just, like, made to be played live. So we might play that, you know, and see how the crowd reacts to that, you know. But, it's just, I'm just excited to got new music on the way and go back to the Nail Bomb record, to Point Blank tour, which was so much fun last year. It wasn't long enough. I thought it was, like, kind of short. So I'm glad that we're doing this again, man. You know, it's like a continuation with that, because we put a lot of work on it, like learning all the stuff and getting all the samplers and reproducing all the sounds. The stage looks cool too. It's all camouflage. It's like really, really war looks like, you know, we have all these kind of like targets from a shooting range. And like camouflage everywhere, you know. It's like gas masks on my mic, gas mask on Igor's mic. You know, it looks really real military, really warlike. So it's got that nail bomb vibe, you know. And then right. we let the music speak for itself, because that record is just it's just fun, man. You know, wasting away, cockroaches, gorillas. You know, Vai Tomar no Cu, just fun, man. It's just, it's a blast to play that stuff live, and I really, really enjoying it.
Okay, what about for an old school Dead Kennedys fan like myself? I know you're no stranger to some of their songs. What you got for me there? Anything?
Well, we did Police Truck on the live show.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't learned it for this tour yet, but we can probably get back and throw that in the mix. It'd be kind of cool, you know. It's like that's always was one of our favorites, you know. And it goes great with the whole thing, you know. And I always loved, you know, cover songs. We might get together with the guys from Today is the Day, because they're also on the tour. And Lodi Kong is my kid's band. They're also on the tour. And
right.
So maybe we get together with all those guys and do a Kennedy's cover. It would be great. It would be awesome.
That would be. Maybe, yeah, that would be fantastic.
Maybe even a different song, you know.
Sure. You've got my vote for that, please. You mentioned your son doing vocals and all that, so I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say that your cohort, your original cohort with Nailbomb, Alex Newport, he's not going to be on this tour.
Yeah, Alex doesn't want to play live anymore. He's just a studio guy. But he's totally cool. He was very happy that I was doing this. Actually, he helped me to get the samplers, send a bunch of the ideas how to get the samplers from the album out the best way possible. So he's very cool with it, you know. He just doesn't like to play live, and his life is different now. He's a studio guy. We totally understand that, but we have his blessing to go on tour and do this, you know, so which I think is great. And then my son Igor is doing his vocals, and man, he learned, he even sounds like Alex in a lot of the songs, which is great. I think he kind of studied how Alex sings, you know, and did a great job. It sounds really, really cool. So he sings and plays samplers, do all the sampler noises, and then sings with me. And he also sings for Lodi Kong, which is the opening band. So they're both, him and Zion, they do double duties every night, which is not easy. But yeah, man, it's a matter of family. We all work for it. Yep.
That's right. There's no free rides in this world. You got to let the kids work for it. For sure. That's a father talking right there. That's what I like to hear. How well was when Point Blank originally came out, how well do you recall how well it was received? Like, was this a shock to fans? Did it do well? Did it?
I think it got better through the years. I think when it first was released, it was very underground. You know, like it wasn't as big as the other records. You know, like I released Chaos AD at the same time, and Chaos AD was a much bigger record. You know, and but the album was never meant to be big. It's always had an underground feeling to it, to me, the way I look at it. I mean, it started as a joke. We never even thought we were gonna make a record. We just messing around with sounds I just wanted to learn how Alex does his riffs on Hate on Fudge Dunno. I thought Hate songs in E minor had some of the heaviest riffs. I want him to teach me how to do riffs like that, and then I end up teaching him how to play Sepultura kind of riffs, like the chuggings and the fast riffs. So it becomes like this really cool bond between two guys, just loving, you know, learning from each other. And then Gloria enters the picture, and she's like, I'm going to get a record due for you guys. You guys are going to make a record out of this. And we thought, like, you're crazy. We ain't got nothing here. This is just fun. You know, we're just having fun. But she did. She got the Roadrunner to get behind it. And it was cool. The campaign was like the bastard son of Max Cavalera and Alex Newport, you know. It was
right.
Like this kind of, we had the poster, we did the pictures with blindfolded with our arms behind our backs, kind of like hostages. Yeah, man, you know, so, and it grew. I mean, the record had a lot of guests, so like, you know, my brother was involved, and Dino from Fear Factory was involved. Andreas played some guitars, you know, so when we did the live show, we had Peligro from the Dead Kennedys playing drums, we had Dave from Neurosis playing bass, Reese from Frontline Assembly was doing keyboards. It was a big production, you know, and that's what's cool, like, Nailbomb has different incarnations, you know, so we had the project that became Point Blank, the live album was a series of different musicians, and now we have Soulfly playing Point Blank. It's like, this is like the third incarnation of Nailbomb, which is, I think it's cool to, like, every time we do something with it, it's a little bit different from the time before.
Keeps
so
it fresh.
I'm very, very, very excited. But the record, I mean, the fans loved it, and they loved, you know, they still today, a lot of fans love this album, and it's like it had become like a cult. It's a full-on cult record that people just really always bug me. Like, you're going to make another Nailbomb? And it's like, I'm always like, no, I can't. We kill it. Me and Alex, we finish, we destroy it, you know, so... the live thing is the best thing people are going to get out of this, which is pretty cool.
Now, you know what? You just answered what was going to be my next question. Great minds think alike. I was going to say, is there a Nailbomb record in you after this tour? I mean, because you're not busy enough as it is with Soulfly and Cavalera Conspiracy, and I'm sure you want to do something with Killer Be Killed and all that. Like, you're just not busy enough.
Played,
is there
I
a new...
all that. You know, Soulfly new record comes out in the summer. Killer BQ, we are writing right now. We're doing getting some riffs. I'll tell you one thing that would have been really cool. It was actually having Alex record some of the stuff. Maybe me and my kids, we just get together and start a whole another project under a different name and have Alex be the producer of it and even get him to sing in some of the stuff. That would be kind of like a Nailbomb thing, you know, for the future. I don't know. I haven't really thought much about it. It's just kind of like just some ideas floating around. We kind of go one thing at a time. Like right now, I'm really busy between finishing the Soulfly record and then getting ready for the tour. I start practicing tomorrow for Nailbomb, you know, so we got to get down there and start jamming the songs again. So one thing at one day at a time, but you know, I think it's I'll be excited to work with Alex again in the future for something. I don't know why, you know.
Good. Well, keep us up to date on that, and we'll see what we can do about getting that out. I've always been curious about this, and I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. What is a Nailbomb? Like, I never even heard that word until that record came out. Like, what is a Nailbomb?
A Nailbomb is a real bomb. I mean, a lot of used by IRA, actually, in Ireland. And it's like... it's a real bomb, and they put a lot of real nails inside, so when it explodes, it does maximum fatality casualties with the nails. You know, so it's a pretty fucking, you know, strong word. In fact, I remember Alex being a little bit worried about the name when we first got the name, which was Alex's idea to use it. I didn't know what it was either. And then he told me about it. It's a Nailbomb. He's like, IRA uses blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, man, that sounds like the sound that we're making. That sounds like a bomb that explodes it and shoots nails on people. It's like, that's the sound of it. This is, that's what we create. That's our sound.
So it's a pretty crazy invention, you know. It's a human invention, very lethal, you know. And we just I always thought it was a great name. It just sounds killer the way you put the two words together.
Right.
The nail bomb together just sounds fantastic, you know. Sounds killer. Sounds cool. It's catchy, you know.
right.
And then we had the cover, of course, with the Vietnamese lady with the gun in her head, which was one of the craziest, most hardcore covers I ever seen.
For sure.
You know, we got that picture from, I think it was like newspaper Associated Press or something, sent it to Roadrunner, a bunch of different black and whites and a bunch of war pictures, and we found that one, and we're like, that's the cover. And we picked the most controversial one, you know. This looks great with, you know, black and white, you know. Everything was kind of punk rock.
Right.
We were doing at that time, like full-on Discharge influence. So, yeah, I think it works. But it is like, it is a real bomb full of nails that explodes and fuck shit up.
Yes, I remember it was definitely a very strong cover back then. And it kind of let you know, okay, you know, this band with a name like that and a cover like that, this band isn't writing about, you know, girls and partying Friday nights and all that. This band has something to say here.
There'll be nothing like that, and there'll be no clean guitars. Everything will be distorted at maximum and fast and in your face. You know, you look at the cover and the name, you know what you're in for it.
Right on. And I'm sure you're a busy guy. I'm going to wrap this up here now, but we're going to get this out before this particular tour starts, so let everyone know that you're coming. Maybe give someone a shout-out on tour and anything to let them know that fucking Nail Bomb is coming.
Yeah, man. I'd just like to invite everybody that loves metal, you know, be there, because it's going to be a fantastic night. And again, I'm not doing this for long, you know, so like once we finish with Nail Bomb and Soulfly comes out, I'm probably just going to go back to Soulfly. So it's pretty unique kind of thing, man. You know, I think, you know, you don't want to miss it, you know, so get your butt in there. Get on that circle pit, get on that mosh pit. Or if you don't want to get bruises, stay in the back and enjoy, you know, still enjoy the show. But I like to invite everybody. It's going to be fun, you know, great songs, full of power, full of energy. Really excited. I'm glad it's an old classic record from 20 years ago that is more relevant now than ever, especially with this day and age of the Trump, America's Trump. It's like Nail Bomb is the point blank is the perfect album for that. So get your butts at the show and let's have fun.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
So up here in my neck of the woods, March 9th, Soulfly as Nail Bomb will be here. And I am so excited. I cannot wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's not just Soulfly on this bill, but they're bringing out Today is the Day as well.
Yeah, with Steve Austin.
With Steve Austin, yeah.
I always get a
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure. For sure. Yeah, trust me. I want to talk to Mr. Austin. I think I'm going to be getting on the horn with him as well. And, you know, there's his other sons, like Zion Cavalier is in Soulfly. His other son is in Lodi Kong. They're on the bill as well. Winnipeg Solenum, one of my favorite bands, Unspeakable Acts recording artists. Solenum has been added to that bill. So I'm excited. I can't wait, and I hope everyone else is as well. Check your local listings. Do not sleep on this show. It is going to be a very unique experience.
So wait, Lodi Kong's playing the same night they're touring with? So that means that Zion is doing double duty, because doesn't he play drums?
He's got a couple sons.
Well, no, but I think Zion plays drums in Lodi Kong too.
Okay.
Because it's him and his brother, I thought.
I'm not exactly sure the whys and wherefores
behind it. I read about it in Disciple magazine.
Okay, cool. Then if it's in Disciple, then it's true.
Yeah, but it was a while ago. I'm trying to remember it. I haven't got to use that gag in a while. I'm glad I got to say Disciple. I need to find the new Disciple. I'm thinking about it.
Well, the latest one is out right now, and it's the Disciple Tour. They've got Enslaved, Wolves in the Throne Room, Mirker, and Chemist on the cover. Last month's episode, they had Tribulation on the cover. I've got them in my hot little fists right here. And once again, I'm going to put Disciple over big time, because they just no fucks given. They'll put whoever they want on the cover without any concern about if they're going to quote unquote push units. No, we're going to push the bands that we dig, much like Radioactive Metal.
Oh, pushing units, yeah. That'd be more appropriate for last week of Valentine's Day.
I think so.
So. You know, I was looking at the tour for this Soulfly Nail Bomb thing, because I'm like, man, I'd really like to go see these guys play. Motherfucker, it's not coming anywhere near me. Like, it's coming through Pittsburgh, where I used to live. I saw where it was coming through Winnipeg. I'm like, son of a gun, man.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're even coming to Florida, are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think they are.
No, I don't.
They're spending a lot of time up north.
Maybe they'll be a second leg.
You know why, Aaron, they're not coming anywhere near you?
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought you were going to tell me they were coming to Winnipeg because they're like maple syrup.
No, because you're in the sticks.
Dude, I was out of the sticks. I was in the sticks before. Like, now I feel like I'm off the map entirely. You know?
Falling off the map.
I got to give you credit. I like to bust your balls and all that, but I got to give you credit. You moved from Pittsburgh, a major market, for all the right reasons. So as much as I like to give you a hard time, you know, I understand there's whys and wherefores as to why you did it. But, hey, I got to bust you for it. Come on.
It's funny. Like, I told you guys I'm traveling. So I actually ran into somebody I used to work with in Pittsburgh just out of the blue. He's like, dude, what are you doing up here? I'm like, oh, I'm just up, helping out for a couple weeks. And he's like, so how do you like the South? I'm like, well, I love the sunshine.
What kind of question is that? How do you like the South?
I'm like, I love the sunshine. I love the weather. I love being near the ocean. I said, but not having any concerts is killing me, man.
And all those fucking crosses being burnt on my neighbor's lawn, that pisses me off too.
Dude, you know what? Like, no joke. The one day I was going somewhere, and there's a bunch of people demonstrating with a Confederate flag. Uh-huh. And if I didn't have my children, I would have stopped to be like, okay, guys, so let's talk about this bullshit here. like, what's the point? You know?
Uh-huh.
And that's when we see on the news, man shot at redneck rally.
I
would, Rock, I would never shoot them.
Yeah. You know where I'm going.
But I tell you, this the second me and my brood moved into your neighborhood, man, I'm sure we'd be burnt at the stake.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they know how to do a hog boiling down here, according to Fried Green Tomatoes. You know, just...
Yeah.
Anyway.
The face of Judas Priest is definitely on the live front. Okay, that world-famous... twin guitar attack, and you guys are musicians and all that, so you would really appreciate this. That is now gone. KK Downing left, and they brought in a more than capable replacement, but Mr. Tipton has, unfortunately, he has to step down from the live front, and they're going to replace him. And, you know, I'm glad they are, because I'm not ready for Priest to throw in the towel, but it's gone. Like, the twin guitar attack is now gone on the live front. And it's like, wow.
Well, for people who may not have heard about this, Glenn Tipton has Parkinson's disease, and, he's struggling with that. I guess some days are better than others, but he can't just go on tour. So,
Right. Yeah. And he was showing signs of this like 10 years ago, apparently.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I can't believe he's had it for this long.
Yeah. And
I mean, he's really recorded. Held out, you know?
Yeah, he's still recorded. He still toured. He was still like the rock and roll guy, okay? And you hear about like some of these fucking Pop-Tarts and all that, where they get the sniffles and they got to cancel a show. Or they stub their toe and a tour's off and all that, and then
or they pitch a fit and make the crowd chant that they love him, and that's all the more we'll mention about that.
Yeah,
that's it. Know? Yeah, because trust me, you get me going about Brian fucking up again. The one time I saw Marilyn Manson, it was just fucking brutal. And the Butcher Babies just blew him off the stage. Well,
not even worth our time to mention the name. Just mention the
record. Not at all.
But you know, it's funny. Like, you know, so Lemmy literally plays up until the day he dies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's playing with, you know, all the stuff that was Allium. And if you think about it, you know, to your point, Snowy, like, the last like true professional musicians really seems to be in the metal crowd. Like, those are the people that are going to go out. They're going to play no matter what. You know, they're going to play hurt, sick, whatever. They're going to make sure that the show goes on. I mean, fuck, look at Malcolm Young. He played up until he couldn't play. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, shit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, just you know, these guys, like, they refuse to get off the stage until they literally can't go on, you know?
Yep.
I see it admirable. And I see it all the time in person when I'm working backstage with Ninja Cat, and you have a drummer, he's sicker than a dog, and he's still going up on stage and he's giving it all. This guy, you know, he hurt his foot the night before and all that, and it's just they're still stepping up. You're absolutely right. It's absolutely fantastic.
And for a drummer to be sick and to go out with what they do, like, I don't. Sure, he's sitting still, but I don't think people understand that, like, a metal show is the equivalent of going out and running 10 miles.
Pretty much. You know?
That I will never understand.
Yeah. You
musicians, help me out here, okay? Like, they have the big drum solo. The other band leaves the stage. Like, the rest of the other band members leave the stage and all that. They get a break. What I'm assuming is the most physically demanding instrument goes out and does this big 10-minute solo, while what are these guys doing back? Having a beer? Snorting something? I don't know. Like, what the fuck? Shouldn't there be, like, one long guitar solo or something?
Well,
drummer can take a break?
Well,
you'd think. You know? I mean, Kiss gave everybody a solo, so everybody got a break.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, they're equal opportunity. Now, I mean, and by I use the term solo loosely when we talk about Gene Solo, but and it's funny. Like, I remember, just to go off on this tangent, seeing getting to see the first Makeup reunion tour, and going out of my mind watching Gene in makeup spit blood while only playing a low E through some heavy fuzz and distortion.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, what other bass player could get me to go this crazy by playing a single note? You know, and not even like he's playing it quickly. It's like a quarter note, you know, or a whole note. I'm like, and, you know, anybody else would be like, what, that's all you got?
Well,
like, I'm out of here.
It's the theatrics. That's what you were there for.
That's exactly it, man. Oh.
The blood spitting and the flying and the...
Oh, man. I just, like, I've been on a Kiss kick. I actually bought the Unplugged record so I could listen to that again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So that's a great record.
It is, man. It's an amazing
record.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of to like the point when we're talking about the musicians, like to hear those guys sing live and do the harmonies, I love technology and I love the digital technology. It's great. I can sit in my hotel room, record myself on my iPad, but I really feel that too many people are becoming reliant on the technology rather than just being good.
There you go. That's what I want to hear. Yeah.
You know, like I want people that have practiced for hours and that can play it no matter what. You know, like if they're falling over, they're not going to miss the note because there's no way they can get it wrong. Like that's what I miss, you know, and like Glenn Tipton, you know, getting, well, finally, I guess, succumbing to Parkinson's more or less. Like that's just, it's such a bummer because he's one of those guys, you know, he's in that camp.
Now, did I read correctly that Andy Sneap is going to take his place?
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's like really surprising because for anybody who doesn't know, Andy Sneap, he was in bands like 20 years ago, but he's been a record producer and mixer and, you know, and all that. He has, I don't think he's, maybe, well, he may have played gigs that we don't know about just for fun, but I mean, to go back out and play in fucking Judas Priest, that no pressure, dude.
No, not at all. When they first announced that, you're right, he's been a producer all these years, but shit, I remember way back then, not the death metal Sabbath, but the original British Sabbath with their debut record, History of a Time to Come. That was his puppy back then.
Oh, okay.
So Sneap is, he's got it going on. Mm-hmm. And when they announced him, I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, I can see that.
I was amazed. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the guy
gotta be keeping his chops up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he plays stuff when he's in the studio with other bands. You know, he probably contributes stuff here and there that we don't know about, but. Man,
for sure.
He's so busy producing and mixing. You know, it's like I'm amazed that he's doing it. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. And anytime Priest comes to town, I want to go see them. But to finally see Sneak play because I had the Sabbath record back then and all that when I was a teenager and all that. So it's like, well, fucking rights, man. That's probably the only way I was ever going to see him play. To be honest. Yeah.
Yep.
So fantastic. Yeah, so hello and horns up to Mr. Tipton. Thank you. Thank you for your years of service and the memories and just all the fantastic music. And keep making it, sir. Keep making it, and we'll keep listening. Mm-hmm. Before we go, I know it's just about that time we're going to get out of here. I also want to say hello and horns up to Andy Williams from Every Time I Die. In my hot little fists right now, I have the year-end issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, where they have their year-end awards and all that, match of the year, this of the year, feud of the year.
Is this the swimsuit issue?
Well, no, I wish. I wish.
But they're always in their swimsuits. But, come on, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's true.
Well, Mr. Williams, okay. Was voted second runner-up in the Rookie of the Year category.
Wow.
So good on him, good on him. Yes, they actually acknowledged that he's the Every Time I Die guitarist, and he's not just content with being a world-famous rock star. And I'm like, really? Like, that's an actual quote from the magazine here. It's like, I didn't know Every Time I Die, you know, was, you know, world famous rock stars. Yeah. Yeah. I think they're kind of pushing it there. Well, anyways, now Rock, you give me a lot of grief for taking up skateboarding in my early 40s and, you know, taking up moshing then and all that, mm-hmm. saying, you know, it's a midlife crisis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now that's just moshing and skateboarding. Now, you know what goes into being a pro wrestler and what that takes on the body and all that?
Yep.
Okay. He's 38 years old when he started, when he had his first professional wrestling match.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, how is that for midlife crisis?
Good for him. I mean,
that's fantastic.
He's going to have a short career, you know, kind of like Diamond Dallas Page. But what the Diamond Dallas Page was like, 35 when he started?
Something like that.
35, 36, yeah.
So you know what? The song we're going to go out on is the title track for the new Necrophobic. Dude, we got to send it out to Mr. Williams. Yeah. So I think that's it.
Yes, sir.
I think we're looking at the time, you know. How can people get a hold of us, because we've actually been kind of negligent about this the last
I know. Facebook.com/radmetal, where you can come and like us and follow us. And that's pretty much the place where you get the most information out of us. Radioactivemetal.org, if you want to go and catch all the latest episodes. If you're, you know, some people don't like to use Apple Podcast or any of the other aggregators out there, well, you can find the episodes directly on our website. While you're there, you can go and look at some pictures and the live pictures that I've taken. You can go buy a T-shirt, you know, which we would really appreciate. And on there's also some Amazon links where you can go make some purchases and we get a little kickback. Doesn't cost you anything. You know, we would appreciate that. That's all on the landing page when you first get to Radioactive Metal. All the links are right there. And you can follow us on Instagram at RadMetal666. That's probably the place where we're second most active, I guess. And Twitter, RadMetal666 also. And if you want to email us, you know, any suggestions, any band submissions, RadMetal666@gmail.com.
Right on. And of course, Radioactive Metal is proud members of the Shining Wizards podcast network. By all means, shiningwizards.com, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. go out and check out all of the wicked programs, some of our sister programs as well. You know, there's not just pro wrestling, but there's music, there's lifestyle, there's pop culture and all that. Big shout out to Shining Wizards Matt, who's a big metalhead. And to the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, the host of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. He's an old school New York hardcore guy, a man after my heart. We're on our way out. And let's go out with the title track, Mark of the Necrogram. God, I'm kicking myself for not coming up with that. From the new Necrophobic record. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This episode has been Da Bomb, episode of Radioactive. That's all. I'm Snowy White.
Can you hear that sound? That's my eyes rolling back. Oh, this is Rock.
I heard it all the way on the other side of the continent.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Snowy, is that like, is that Necrogram like a graham cracker?
Oh, no. You're too much of a family man. Oh,
maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, like a good necrogram. That sounds like a good family death metal cracker.
Sounds tasty.
Right? Like, yeah. Wouldn't that be something you would have at one of your, like, black metal
campouts? I would, but...
Think about it. The necrogram, that is how you make s'mores when you're burning a church, you know, in Sweden.
With your true called coffee.
True called coffee.
Hey, I got to get out of here. I'm tired of you two.
See, all right. Peace out. Metal horns. Woo!
radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.